worship. Because it's very important. There's times that I've come in and we've come in from the prayer room, and the next thing I know, I'm walking in from the prayer room into here and just lost in God. Because they just let God do what they need, what He needs to do. They changed the whole order of the songs this morning. They started off with something and they ended up with something. You start off with something, but you're going to end up with something anyway. God spoke to me, and I've had this sitting in my spirit for the last 3 weeks. And I just waited. You know, you just got to wait sometimes to deliver something. Sometimes you're pregnant with something. I'm talking to men too, thank you. Pregnant with the word, you know what I'm saying? And I think that's very important to where we are in this moment. When you're pregnant with the word and it's getting big in you, you got to do something. Amen? I want you to go with me to Luke, verse 9, 23 through 25. And he said to all, say all. And he said, you need to go with me today. And he said to all, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself? What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses himself? To take up one's cross means to die. It could mean physically, but it also means to die to self or self-denial. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. It means we must die to our own will and our own desires and follow Jesus to the point of giving up our own life, our own agenda, and obey the following Jesus as he leads it and includes all areas of our life. We must become followers and dependent, not giving our own way, doing our own thing. I'm not talking about a Gucci cross and Nike shoes today. Do you know the cross is rough, rugged, and violent? The cross, isn't it funny how people wear it around their neck and they act like they represent something? Come on, somebody. And the bigger they are and they got the jewels on. I'm not saying that somebody can't represent something and have a cross on their neck, but are you really representing? Huge crosses on the temple of a church. Is it really representing? Crosses in people's homes, but they're acting like the devil. The cross is rugged and it's violent. And he said, take up your cross. Deny yourself, my God. And take up your cross and follow him. You ever got a splinter? One of the little tiniest things in your finger. And some of us are crying like babies. This has hurt me so bad. I mean, I can't take it. Somebody get this out. I mean, there's a splinter there. It's hurt me so bad. Well, it can get infected if you don't get it out. But do you know what I'm saying? Here's this rugged cross. Isn't it funny that he died on the cross and he rose the third day? And before he did that, he said, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. I said, this is more than a Sunday. What are you trying to say, God? Go with me to Luke. No, listen. 9:23 in the same, what I read while ago, I'm going to read it in the Message. Then he told them, this is funny because I'm talking to the disciples today. Anyway. Then he told them what they could expect from themselves. He told them what they would, what he would expect for themselves. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Ouch. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. I mean, somebody better speak right there. We always run from it. We always run from things that are painful. This is a rugged cross. You think it's going to be like when he says, take up your cross and follow me, that it's going to be, okay, it's not going to be very light. This is going to be good. No, it's rough and it's violent. Violent? Do not run from suffering. Embrace it. What? The opposite of what we want to do? Do not run from suffering, but embrace it. What? We would rather be comfortable and say, oh, man, I'm not going to get into that. And I really don't want to fast for that, or I don't want to pray for that, because that ain't going to be nothing but warfare. That ain't going to be nothing but trouble. Do not run from suffering, but embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. I'll show you how? What do you mean you'll show me how? I didn't want to preach this. I'm just letting you know. Because guess what? It preached to me first before I ever get up here. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. It's my way to finding yourself, your true self. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is my way. He said he's going to teach us. Verse 25, it says, what good would it do to get everything you want and lose it and lose you for real? What good would it do that you get everything you want and then lose you? See, sometimes we get in the way. Sometimes we think we need to fix it when he's trying to fix us. We think we need to fix somebody else. Won't you just look in the mirror and let God fix you? I'm letting God fix me. Do I want to embrace suffering? It's funny because we always try to run from things that are painful. You think that wasn't painful for Jesus Christ? Do you think that wasn't an old rugged cross that was violent? And I kept saying, God, he said, I need you to pick up that cross. And isn't it funny how we don't want to pick it up? Because we know what it's going to do and what it's going to do to us. Might be splinters at a time. It might hurt. But it's going to be worth the hurt. There is more from you. But it's going to cost you something. Are you willing for the cost? You know, in our minds, we would say, no. If that's going to cost that, I don't want to do it. And that's why people have their cross up on the temple. And they're saying, you know, we love God, but we're not going to pay that price. You ever seen anybody that embraces and they give their hearts to the Lord and they're all fired up? They're all fired up. Seeing it over and over and over. And they got this zeal, but they don't have no knowledge. And the next thing you know, you're texting them and you're calling them going, come on. Come on, it's gonna be deeper than that. That's just the surface. You just gave your heart to God. But there's power in the cross. No, I mean, you got to get in a little. Come on. No, I gave my heart to the Lord. I can sit down. I'm good. Huh. What? And I'm just going to be real honest with you. And I don't know if anybody even needs to know Jesus here today. It's going to cost you something. We've had so many churches that say, well, give your heart to the Lord, and then everything's going to be okay. No, it's going to tear your whole house up. It's going to flip you upside down and inside out, and it's worth it. It's worth it. You shouldn't talk like that. They probably wouldn't want to give their hearts to the Lord. That's between them and God. I'm going to tell the truth and shame the devil. I've seen people that give their hearts to the Lord and all of a sudden everything's been flipped upside down. What is happening? I thought this was supposed to be good. It is good. You haven't seen it all yet. Because see, the good that's in you is coming out so you can have what you need. Because the junk that's been in you needs to go. It's called daily walking with Christ. He said, every day I deny myself, I take up the cross and I follow him. Our commitment, it starts right here. To be a disciple, it starts in our mind. It starts in our heart. And understanding that Jesus requires total submission from us. Come on, somebody. Oh, no, I'm good. I'll just give him this. And I can still do this. No, then you're not a disciple. Because he said to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. It's funny how, what God and how he does things in this hour of, I've had this sitting on me for 3 weeks, didn't say anything to the pastors, just waiting on God. And I said, God, now we just talked about the cross and we just talked about your resurrection. And now he goes, I said, I want them to take up their cross. And I believe it's intentional. I know it's intentional. I know we're in a place of intentional. Some of you have walked through that door that I know that's come in, whether you had a transfusion or some things that's happened in your physical body. Some of you just went to go get a test done a while ago and are coming. Somebody, you see, you don't even know what's in this room. Ones that are pressed in. That's called intentional. And if you're intentional, he's an intentional God. He could do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ever ask or thought of, according to his word, according to your faith that works what? In you. It's not a light thing to commit. It can't be halfway. See, some of you are straddling the fence. I'm just talking to you. And if you really want to be a disciple, God's given a warning today. See, some of you straddle the fence. I can still listen to that. I mean, I like that beat, but I can still do this and still talk to my kids, you know, about Christ. You are split in half. You can't do that. You're either on one side or the other. You'll either love God and hate the enemy. You'll do one or the other. You cannot serve two masters, period. But you're serving two masters, and you think people don't see it. See, the light comes on. This is the light of the word. This is the light of the world. You think we're not going to go to a city and be a light? Absolutely we will. But I want to be intentional about that. This is not halfway. This is not a halfway Sunday. This is more than a Sunday. I can get half of what they're saying, and I can get half of my worship. No, this is all in or all out, one of the two. Yikes. You're not being very nice. I don't have time. You don't have time. In the hour we're in, we don't have time. When you understand the immeasurable worth of Jesus' commitment, you will be motivated to commit yourselves fully to Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me to Luke 9, 57 through 62. And they were going along the road, and someone said to him, can you imagine walking with Jesus? And they were going along the road, and someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. You lying? And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, phew. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. That's big words. I'll tell you what, he wasn't playing around when he started saying all this, and he's not playing around now. And Jesus said to them, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. How many of you are proclaiming the kingdom of God? Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord. Pick me. I'll follow you. But let me first say farewell to those at my house. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for my kingdom. Are you putting your hand on the plow? But have you turned around about things that's been still going on? He said you would not be fit for his kingdom. Every time someone came to Jesus to pledge to follow him, Jesus tested their commitment by communicating to them exactly what they were signing up for. I'm communicating to you today exactly what you're signing up for. He didn't make that silent. If you're going to follow him, let the dead bury the dead. Come with me. Can you imagine? When they talked about that, the dead burying the dead, back then they would, when they had a burial service, the person or the family didn't work for a whole year. They stayed and mourned for a whole year. I'm not saying you're not going to mourn, but I'm saying is Jesus knew that when he said, well, I've got to go bury my father. Jesus knew that he was saying, well, I'm not going to be around for a year. And he said, you're going to have to let them bury that. If you're going to follow me, then follow me. And I think what God was saying was he said things very extreme. He didn't say, well, you know, if you, you know, go get you something to eat and then come back. I mean, you hungry? Go ahead and go get you something. He said, no, deny yourself and come on. He didn't say, you know, you can go ahead and do that, what you need to do. And, oh, but if you need to make that phone, go make that phone call. Go ahead and make that phone call. And then you can you come back and then you can talk to me? He said, leave it there and come follow me now. Because if you don't, you're going to miss it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss what God's doing, what he's saying. And God told me, he said, I'm going to search today. He said, I'm searching in the hearts today. Jesus wasn't sugarcoating his expectations of his disciples. He was clearly saying, this will be the hardest thing you'll have to ever do. Any of you in a hard place? Come on, somebody. I'm in a hard place. I'm telling you. I feel like I'm being squeezed and wrung out. Hush your mouth, Sally. She would always say, when I get ready to go to a different country, she'd say, I'm going to pray for you that God would bring you out. I said, quit praying that. Stop that. But it was the right thing. I pray he brings us out. But so, because if we don't have any of us, then we have all of him. Because we've been mixing way too long. But you know what's interesting is Jesus didn't sugarcoat what he was going to say to the disciples. And I'm not sugarcoating it. This pulpit and the people that's been coming out of this pulpit have not been sugarcoating it. There's churches and their pulpits and they've been sugarcoating and sugarcoating and sugarcoating. You watch things on TV and you know it's sugarcoat. Come on, somebody. I don't care if it's TBN or whoever. And sometimes you don't know the difference. Because you're so calm with the things that you do, you don't even have a conviction about it. And you know what's funny is Jesus is standing there talking, that Jesus Christ is standing there talking to them about, follow me. Can you wait a minute? What? I'd say, where are we going? But see, our flesh tells something different, but our spirit needs to say yes and let our flesh follow behind us. It will press you in places and spaces that you've never been before. That cross and picking up that cross is going to press you in spaces and places that you have never been before. It will require you to give like you've never gave before. Come on, somebody. Uh-oh, I'm touching your wallet. I'm touching your wallet. And I know Pastor Brandon, my son, when we were at a conference one time, and all the money I had in my wallet, everything I had in my wallet, and we're in this conference. I haven't paid for the hotel yet. We still got three more days for food and gas. And I heard Holy Spirit say, give everything you got. I'm running, dumping all my pennies, all my stuff, all the money for the hotel. I mean, if you don't hear from God, please be careful what you... God, as my witness, as I stuck my hand down in that bucket and dropped all of that, a woman comes running beside me, grabs my hand, and she said, God told me to give you this. And I hadn't even got my hand out of that bucket yet, and I got a handful of cash in my other hand. I gave extremely. We left that meeting and went to a steak place. I said, we got no... I don't know what's going on, Brandon. I don't even know how much money's here. I see 50s and 100s. Something's going on. I said, we're going to go get a steak. I walk up and I order the steak and a man come up behind me and he goes, I don't know who you are, but I need to pay for your steak today. And I said, oh, now something's really going on. But see, you'll give like you never gave before. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about you. You will give like you never gave before. Well, I'm already doing this, and I'm already doing that. And No, you'll give like you never gave before. Until it hurts. It hurts right here. No, God, no way. Let me tell you something. I had a different outfit to wear. I know that sounds crazy. And I walked into the other room yesterday, and I turned, and he said, you're going to put them boots on today. I said, I don't want to put them boots on today. My feet hurt so bad, God, I don't want to put them boots on today. So you don't know. He said, it's not about you. I slipped these boots on. My feet haven't hurt since I put these boots on this morning. That's a God honest truth. They might hurt Jen when I come off of them today, but that's okay. But see, you got to hear what he's saying. I'm not talking about, oh, you dressing and what you're going to put on. I'm talking about giving and doing what God wants to do. See, this halfway heart thing, oh, no, I'm a Christian, but I'm only going to give this much cost. No, I'm a Christian, but I really don't want to help in the church. No, I'm a... You better help. You better. This is the body of Christ. This is God's house. This was dedicated to God. Where do you need me? First thing I said. Do you need me to clean the toilets? I'll clean them. Do you want me to go stand outside? I'll go stand outside. Do you want us to serve food? We'll serve food. Do you want me to stand beside? You want me to help? You want me to help Tony? What do you want me to do, God? Because I want to be where he wants me to be. No, I want to jump and skip over all this other stuff, and I want to be on the worship team. I'm not saying that you don't have a heart of worship. I'm not saying, but see, sometimes you have to go through the process of certain things to get to certain. Some of you don't feel worthy even to give. Because every time you put your hand out there to give something, somebody's hurt you. God wants to heal that today. It oppresses you in spaces and places that you've never been before. He wants to make sure that those who are clinging to him aren't in it just for miracles and abundance and 2 fish and 5 loaves. I like miracles. I like seeing what God's doing. I've seen so much stuff in Africa, it was unbelievable. I would love to see 2 fish and 5 loaves and 5,000 being fed, but it's not all about that. He wants to see if you're going to cling to him or not. Because see, some churches have got so hype that they've missed the whole thing of the clinging and the intimacy. He would rather that you realize that the crown that you're signing up for is not earthly renown. The crown that you're signing up for, you know what's going to happen, is when we go, first of all, you got to go to the judgment seat of Christ. Didn't know I was going to go there. And guess what? You're going to be all by yourself standing there before God. And he's either going to say, welcome in thy good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. If he says, welcome in thy good and faithful servant, you will take your crown. I don't know what your crown looks like. It might be a little crooked. You might not have any stones at all in it. Anyway. And you're going to go lay that at the feet of Jesus. Lay that at the feet of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want to lay as much as I can to him. If it costs me my life, day before yesterday, Pop said, and he's back in the back. He's helping with the children's ministry. God's doing something back there. I love what he's doing. I love what he's doing in the youth. I love what he's doing in the youth. See, you need to pray for that. Because you know what? That generation behind me, and I've said this to Sam before, if you need to pass me up, you go right ahead. Go right ahead. If God wants to do something and he's going to raise you up in an hour, you go right ahead. I'll stand right here and I'll just cheer you on. Pop said, man, because we have a good friend of ours that is He has cancer. They've only gave him maybe a week or two to live. I'm not saying that God couldn't do a miracle. But whatever God's will is, let it be so. Pop looks at me and he said, well, babe, I hope I just pass in my sleep so you wouldn't have to see me suffer. I said, how dare you limit God? What? I said, what if he wants you to be a martyr for Christ? I never thought about it that way. I said, well, it's a little selfish. He goes, well, I was just thinking about you. Here we start arguing. Not arguing, but you know what I mean. Like disagreeing to agree to disagree, you know. He said, well, I was just thinking about you. I said, don't think about me. Think about how God wants to do what he wants to do. See, I was right in the middle of this sermon and writing stuff down, and I come up the chair at my table. Could you say that? Could you say that to your husband? Could you say that? Whatever he wants to do, let it be done. When we lay down our crowns before him, Billy Graham's crown's probably fantastic. Wow. No, really. He led more people to the Lord between him and Ron Harbunke. And I know you probably don't. Who in the world is Ron Harbunke? He's already went to with the Lord too, and he was leading thousands and thousands of people to Jesus Christ at a time in Africa. Their crowns are probably unreal. Now, could he do that for you, Sam? He could. It could be right in this city. It could be the college students. It could be the youth, the children's ministry. Something's, you know what I'm saying? But I think so much that we've so went past that to say, you know, and if I get a crown, I make it through by the skin of my teeth. I'm good. Get up at the judgment seat going, am I through? Did I follow you? No, I want to walk up. I want to walk up. I want to do that right here, right now, in this earth, right here, right now, saying, you know what, God, I want to be faithful. No matter what's going on, no matter what is happening, I want no matter what. If it's suffering for the sake of his kingdom, let it be so. Them were big words, man. I kept saying that to God. I go, I don't want to say that. He said, you'll see another side of me on the cross. You'll see another side of me when you take the cross. And he spoke to me, Brandon, as clear as day. And he said, the pieces of this side where you pick it up and you put it on your shoulder and you carry the cross. I'm not saying you're going to go carry a cross across the country. Some people have done that. Good gracious, they're tired. Has it spoke to people in different cities? Absolutely. Was it making a statement? Yeah, but you better hear from God if you're going to go carry a cross across the country. But God spoke to me and he said, that there's splinters and there's hurts and there's pain in parts of this cross that you have to go through, and you don't understand what's going on right here, but it might be for somebody down here. You might be going through some pain right here and you don't understand it. You need to get away from yourself. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking to myself. There's times I've had so much pain that I'm going, oh my God, Lord, I'm tired of saying it, God. I'm tired of hurting, God. He said, you're in yourself. You don't understand what I'm going to do here as you're carrying that cross to get to somewhere right here so you can speak to somebody, and it's going to bring healing and it's going to bring deliverance to somebody else. But this right here is not funny when you're right here. But it's worth it because when you get here, that will be worth what you just went through. It was worth him dying on the cross because what he went through is worth it for us. Now he's saying, can you carry your cross and be worth it for somebody else? We're so used to being in self. I'm comfortable. I'm good. I don't really want to go do that. No, we're getting ready to do a whole outreach. No, we're not, but I'm just saying. Brandon? Anyway. You know, like when we started and all of a sudden all this food started coming and semis started backing up. Come on, somebody. It was hard work, man. Some of you don't even know the sweat that was. And we didn't have anything to get the pallets off. We got the pallets off with our own hands. But I think we weren't supposed to get the pallets off in the beginning, but with our own hands, because he wanted to see if we were going to cling to him, and he wanted to see if we were going to be intentional or not. He wanted to see if we were going to murmur and complain as we're taking all that off. We were taking it off going, oh my God, look at all the cars pulling up. Oh my goodness. Brandon's running down all the way around where all the cars are, and they're rolling down their windows, and Brandon's talking to him. Come on, somebody. All of a sudden, people started finding out about it. The next thing we know, we got 1,000. Then the next thing we know, we got all these other people that are coming. Hey, we found out people were waiting for 4 hours, 5 hours, waiting right here in cars. I was sitting for a whole hour talking to two ladies, and you know who they are. I said, you're going to wait for like 4 hours. Oh, it's worth the wait because we know that you all are getting ready to come to our cars, and we're getting ready to roll down our window, and we're going to have fellowship with you. It wasn't about the food. Did that hurt? That's all I could do to move the next day. We had to clean up. We had to get it all done. I'm saying all this. And then all of a sudden, we go into the fairgrounds and over 5,000 people, and we serve. Come on, somebody. Little old us? What? What? And we're not even doing just candy. Now it's all kinds of food. People started finding out about it, and they started bringing pallets and pallets of food. And before they would ever get in, we would say, open up your trunks. Open up the back doors. We're about to fill you up. People started expecting it. Was that easy? No. Is that easy to come on Thursdays and to pray and to fast and to try to see? And some of them are going, looking on their phones like, I wish he'd hurry up and speak. Is he done yet? Till the ground, Bubba. Till the ground. Even if it hurts, till the ground. Because over here, it's worth it. If you stand in what you're supposed to do, it's worth it. Jesus wanted to remind them that following him isn't something just to say, but it's something to do. Don't just say you're going to follow him. He knows your intentions. He knows if you're really going to be. I'm telling you, he's going to start tapping on some of you going, no, now I need you to do this. Luke 15, verse 25. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. What? Whoever does not bear his own cross I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Quit trying to carry somebody else's cross. Man, they're doing much better. Let me just get underneath them and put myself underneath them. You got your own cross to carry. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish it, all you see it begin to mock him. Everyone who sees it will start mocking him. You know what's funny is, you know, when people don't count the cost and they go, "Oh, no, I'm going to go get that brand new Mustang. I mean, I just got a job." You didn't count the cost. Because can you finish what you got? Or is somebody going to come up and mock you? You didn't even count the cost of what you have. Now, do I have enough to do this? Do I have enough to finish this? You know, when we were in Arizona, Pop worked at the airlines until 9/11. And they said, we lived in Ohio, I'm so sorry. And they said, you have two options. You can either move to Arizona or you can move to China. You have two options or you'll lose your job. What? We just got settled into this house. He just got back from China. But we just got settled into this house. We just got settled into a church. We was just, you're messing up our world? What in the world? So we got a piece of paper and we put a line in the middle of it and we weighed good and bad. What would be good with this and what would be, now, you know, would this be good? I don't think with our kids, China, if he told us to move to China, we would go. I said, Brandon don't know the language. Don't do it. And we thought about that. See, we weighed our children, and we called and they said, well, he would have to get on one of the buses, and when they would pick up at your house, and then they would go on a subway to get all the way to the school. Oh, that's a no. I don't even know who these people are, and they're taking my kid to a subway, and he's 6 years. That's a no. So we would weigh that and count the cost to what these things were. You know what I mean? That's important. Listen. Or what a king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Well, if a whole army's coming to me at 10,000, or all I have is 10,000 and a whole army's coming to me with 20,000, I better count the cost because we're going to be done. You know what I mean? So you got to count the cost to what God's saying. And if not, while the other is yet a great way, he sends delegations and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Any of you that does not renounce all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. It's not a part-time thing. It's not a hobby that you can pick up and put down anytime you want. It's a full-time commitment to do the will of God. It is priority number one. And see, the reason they said, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your what? The most precious thing to you is that. And he said, if you do not set all that down, you are not my disciple. That doesn't mean that you have to set down your child and leave her. That means that don't let this right here, your husband, your child, be number one. He's number one. I said, I love you, Pop, but I don't love you as much as I love God. Some of us love money more. Some of us love the next one to us more. Some of us love our family more than God, because we have emotional ties instead of releasing and renouncing all. It says, if you do not renounce all that he has, you cannot be my disciple. It will cost you everything in this world. I said, in this world. With the cost, there's a great gain. What we gain outweighs the cost. Come on, somebody. We gain salvation, eternal life into his kingdom. It's worth the cost. It's worth this right here for the eternal life and the kingdom of God right here. It's worth every bit of it. It might not look like it's worth it. It might not feel like it's worth it, but it's worth it. We may lose family, friends, things of this world. We might lose our own lives. Where do you think we are right now? We haven't even seen the wind blow yet. What? I don't like to be uncomfortable. Well, guess what? Welcome to the kingdom. It's an uncomfortable thing, but it's worth it. Taking up your cross is self-denial, surrender, and sacrifice. I'm going to hit these real quick. To deny ourselves in terms today is called dying to self. Ouch. Many Christians only understand the concept. I'm talking to disciples. I'm talking to Christians. What? I'm not talking to people that are out in the street. You know, real quick, I was at a church in Chicago, and they had bars at the front of the door because I was in the inner city and other people would go and rob them. So they had bars that you had to push a button to get into the church. I stepped out of the car, scared for my car, just saying. I stepped out of my car and a prostitute was on the other side on the corner. She said, you are not taking my corner. I said, ma'am, I'm going to take that corner, that corner, that corner, and that corner. What's that mean? I said, come in and find out. She came in. Oh, she gave her heart. I go in to preach at this church, and when they open up, there's bars. So when they open up the door, because it got so hot in there, all you could see is the inner city. When I'm preaching, all I could see was the inner city. Drug deals. I was watching drug deals as I was preaching. Prostitutes. Pimps. Smacking ladies. And I'm right in the middle, Sam, of speaking, and I said, I'm out. And I dropped that mic. I went outside and I said, if any of you are disciples, you need to come with me. God tore up that city. Where he had me and the sphere that I was in, I had the authority to bind and to loose. That little girl was 14 years old. And her mother was a prostitute. Come on, somebody. You know what? You're so selfish, you don't even know what's going on. You can't even see. I said, what happened to you, baby? She said, my mom was a prostitute, and she made me, I'm talking to somebody. She made me sleep underneath my bed as she was having sex with this man. One after the other, after the other, after the other. I said, how did you get here? She said, she sold me to the pimp. I was mad. I put my arms around her, and she got on her knees right in that street, and she started giving her heart to the Lord, and I looked up, and there's that pimp standing there popping his foot, man. I thought, I'm either going to die right here. No, really. For the sake of the cause. So I stood up, and right next to the, I didn't know I was going here, God, but you're good. Right next to this church was a bar. Well, all these people started coming out drunk. They start giving their hearts to the Lord, and the intercessors started stepping out. They started getting deliverance. And the next thing I know, this owner of the bar said, you need to leave because you're taking my customers. Oh, I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm taking his customers. I said, I'm about to speak something and you're not going to like it, but I pray this thing shuts down. In Jesus' name. 8 months, that thing shut down. Come on, somebody. You have the authority that you can speak and you can declare and you can decree a thing, but you've been sitting so you don't even want to even pay the price to see the effect of this. It might be in here that God wants to raise some things up. He wants to raise, and I heard him. I heard him as clear as day, that he wants to raise you up in an hour so you can. We went into the alleys in that city. People that were homeless for who knows how long. That's all they knew. And a couple of gentlemen said, you're not going by yourself. I never, ever, when I go out, I never go by myself. Please don't do that. He said they go in twos anyway. Because you get in agreement. And they said, and a lady said, oh, he's been there for a long time. You just need to leave him alone. He's been down in that alley, and it was like in two buildings like this, and he was squashed, laying down. I said, no, I'm getting in that crack. And I walked, crawled myself. We got him out. We went and washed his face and got him something to eat. They took him to a homeless shelter. He ended up giving his heart to Jesus Christ. He had a beard, I promise you. It's worth the cost. It's worth the cost. You have to have self-denial. You have to deny yourself. Listen. Self-denial. Many Christians don't know the concept of it. Some believe that self-denial is ourselves of material things, accomplishments, or meaningful things. We can still be recruited as a disciple. I just need to step away from a few material things and a few accomplishments. That's not what he was saying. It's more than that. The self Jesus was talking about is the sinful, rebellious, unredeemed self, the fleshly, the corrupt old self. He's talking. Paul recognized self when he said, I know nothing good dwells in me. That is my flesh. Nothing good dwells in me. See, you got to catch yourself when you act like the devil. When you get your voice raised and you shouldn't. When you get mad at something and you go, man, I mean, God, you want me to be mad at that, or is that my flesh? Jesus calls us to crucify, put to death our own plans and desires. This is not funny. This is a hard word. He wants us to crucify, put to death our own plans and desires, that we must stop gratifying the flesh. Stop it. Petting the flesh. Oh, they hurt me. Stop it. I'm crucified with Christ. You'll have to make yourself intentional. You'll have to make yourself intentional. It is something that when you're healed from abandonment, all of a sudden somebody comes up and tries to bring rejection on you to try to bring open that abandonment again. Or you've been healed from perversion, and the next thing you know, all of a sudden something comes up on your phone. Come on, somebody. To gratify the flesh. You have to be intentional saying, no, I've already been healed. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm picking up my cross and I'm following him. The only person that can be intentional is you. You want so bad that your husband to be intentional. Stop it. You're not his savior. You want your kids to be so intentional. You're not their savior. You pray and you fast and you ask God, please protect my children. It's a rough world out there and we all know it. But at the judgment seat of Christ, my kids are not going to be standing there with me. I'm going to be standing there by myself. And have I gratified the flesh and stood there, or have I crucified with Christ and yet I live? Not I, but him living in me. Results are powerful. Jesus never hid the cost of discipleship. We hid ourselves from the cost of discipleship. He never hid it. He said what he said. If you don't want to do it, you're not my disciple. Isn't it funny how we make up stuff to say, well, he probably wouldn't want me to do that. He probably wouldn't want me to be in the children's ministry. I mean, it's really hard work. And then all of a sudden you feel this tap. Oh, that must be my flesh. That must be just, that's not. And he's trying to tap to say, I need you to count the cost. I need, because see, it's weighing in the balance. There's children weighing in the balance back there. There's youth weighing in the balance of eternity. To hell or eternity to life? Thursdays, you better mark my word that me and Pop are pacing our house on Thursdays praying for the youth. It's intentional. Is it easy? No. Is it worth it? Yes. He made the terms very clear. If you do not deny yourselves and carry his cross and follow him, you are not his disciples. I am talking to disciples today. I said, God, I wrote that down and underlined it and underlined it and underlined it. I said, God, I mean, what if there's people that need Jesus Christ in the room? He said, I said, you're talking to the disciples. That's not saying that somebody can't give their heart to Jesus Christ. But he's tapping on our hearts today. He's tapping on our hearts today. Surrender. Jesus said, take up your cross. Taking up our cross is a matter of bowing down. To bow in absolute surrender to him. To take up is to bow. Surrender is easy when life is running smooth, isn't it? Isn't surrender good when life is just running smooth? But surrender to God's will can be more difficult during struggles and trials. Jesus said, we will face many trials and troubles of many kinds. We will likely suffer in many ways as we follow in his steps. Because, see, surrender is good when everything's good. Man, house paid, my car's paid. It's all good. And all of a sudden, here's a storm and here's a trial. Now can you surrender then? Because there's a whole nother ball game surrendering to that. Sacrifice. What? Taking up your cross means sacrifice. It's not a half-hearted. It's a choice to live out the truth on God's terms. Half-hearted says, I'm willing to act like a Christian as long as it doesn't cost me anything and I don't have to do anything. That's called not a sacrifice. Doesn't cost me anything. Or they'll say, don't disturb my comfort. You know what? When you get uncomfortable, that's a sacrifice. When I crawled in between them two rooms, in between them two buildings, that was a sacrifice. I didn't know how I was going to come out, but I knew that I needed to go. And I know that's extreme things that happen. But if he said, if you were at a restaurant and all of a sudden you see a whole table of people and you got money and you're getting ready to go eat, you're good. I should be getting ready to go eat, and I'm getting ready. And he said, no, I need you to use that money and pay for that whole table. Don't tell him. I see my dad do it all the time when I was a little girl. And I'd see him go up, and he'd pay for his food. And then I see him lean over and talk to the gentleman or the lady, the waitress. And then I walked out, and I said, what happened, Dad? Why'd you give extra money? Did you give it a tip? He said, no, I obey God. And I've learned that in my life. And that's a sacrifice. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about doing anything. Sacrifice to come here early. Y'all want to, you know, all these lights have to come on. Just saying. You know how many times I've picked up stuff on the floor before I walked up here? Anyway, it's a sacrifice. We're the first ones here and the last ones to leave. It's a sacrifice. Is it worth it? It's worth it. I'm not saying that to go pat me on the back. No way. But it's worth it. Abraham defined sacrifice as worship. Worship wasn't merely about emotional satisfaction or personal blessings. Hear me, please. When he headed up the mountain, intended to sacrifice his only son, he told his servants, stay here with the donkey while I am and the boy go over there, and we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Clearly, Abraham had a viewpoint that our faith is about what we are willing to give up, not what we're willing to coax God to give. Abraham had a viewpoint that was clearly what I could give up. What can you give? What can you give up? Because, see, a lot of times people say, oh, I got a blessing. Woo, I got a blessing. No, you coax God. You were trying to coax God, and you got something, and you said it was a blessing. You better know that was. Or is he trying to tell you to give? He was willing to obey God at a profound cost of sacrifice. Not wealth was the mark of his maturity. Sacrifice was. Abraham was a very wealthy man. It wasn't his wealth that made him mature. It was his sacrifice. Because, see, people can just pay off stuff. People have money that he could have just paid off something. Good gracious, let me have somebody else. I'll give you all my cattle if you'll have your son go be sacrificed. No, he went up the mountain himself and said, God told me I even got to carry a knife, that there was going to be a sacrifice. But then he said profoundly, watch the donkey while me and my son go worship and we'll be back. He already knew the sacrifice was going to be a blessing, see? Because if you do it here, the blessing's over here to get what God wants to do. And then it gets all the glory. He gets all the glory for it. You don't get all the glory for it. Many times throughout Scripture, God calls his people to deliberately sacrifice and act on the behalf of his kingdom. The widow. Here, I just wanted to speak to two because Abraham was very, very wealthy and the widow had nothing. But there was a sacrifice. Jesus commended the widow for giving up all she had, even though what she had was a small gift. God doesn't look at the size of the gift, but the size of the sacrifice. What's your sacrifice? He doesn't look at the size of the gift. Oh, my goodness, I've got to do something big because then, you know, I mean, God's looking at me. No. Here's the very wealthy man, and he walked up with his son. Here's the widow that all she had was just a few coins, and she gave what she had. It's a sacrifice. It's not about the gift. It's about the sacrifice. Come on, church. It's about the sacrifice. Many sacrifices have no applause. Listen to me real quick. Many sacrifices have no applause and sometimes not even acknowledge that they've been made. But that's the nature of the sacrifice. See, some of you have sacrificed, but you haven't heard anybody clapping going, you did great. That's so awesome. Because, you know, sometimes in our flesh, we want to have somebody pat our shoulders or pet us, one of the two. I don't know what kind of, yeah, anyway. But most people that have sacrifices, they have never even had an applause. They've not had an acknowledgement. Come on, somebody. That's the nature of a sacrifice. A true sacrifice doesn't need an applause. It doesn't need an accomplishment. You did well. Your flesh goes, your chest comes out. Yeah, I did do good. No, is it really that you did good and God wants to be honored in it? Instead of you honored in it, anyway. Self-love says, look at me. It's turning sacrifice into a stage instead of a cross. Come on, somebody. Self-love says, oh, look at me. It puts you on a stage. You just think you're all that and a bag of chips. Instead of a cross. You're carrying the cross. You're denying yourself and you're carrying the cross. Once we become willing to sacrifice, we must remember the nature of the sacrifice is not our choice. Please listen. You are quite willing to have a cross, but you want to choose your own. Well, I would rather sacrifice that over there. I mean, that, and I would rather choose my own cross to this because I've been very tired. That's called self-sacrifice. That's selfish. The more a cross is from God, the more we should love it. What? Loving this cross? It's hurting me, man. It's taking everything I got. It's taking everything I got. Everything in myself is being going like this, just twisted out, wrung out. You don't enjoy pain for its own sake, but we value obedience to God. You don't enjoy pain for its own sake, but you value obedience to God. Sacrifice makes our faith more precious. These trials are the further benefit of His kingdom. It enhances its beauty when it's pressed and when it's cut. Have you been pressed and have you been cut? It enhances the beauty. No, we would rather be, oh my goodness, I got to get on Facebook and I got to get myself beautified. I got to put I put makeup on. And then sometimes I walk into my son's house yesterday with my pajamas and slippers. Well, I don't even know if I brushed my hair yet that day, yesterday. But I was intentional where I was going. But the cut and the press will bring beauty for His kingdom. Amen? Real Christianity is best exhibited when it's under the greatest trial. Come on, somebody. When it's under the greatest trial is the true Christianity. We look probably like we're wore out. What? You've been through all that? You have no idea. That's why I fought God about putting these shoes on. But that don't seem like a big deal. But did I obey God anyway? I did. It's human nature to value most that which has cost us something. It's human nature to value at a most what cost you something, Larry. It's precious. If you don't highly value your faith, perhaps you have never sacrificed for it. Was that a sacrifice going there and the pimp's looking at me? She's saying she's going to take this corner, that I was going to take her corner. Was that a sacrifice? It was. Because I didn't know if I was going to be shot that day. I really didn't. But was that worth it? It was worth every bit of, that's just one little window. That's just one little thing. If you cannot highly value your faith, maybe you've not sacrificed for it. Luke 14:27 says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's no such thing as no cost, no sacrifice form of discipleship, period. There's no such thing. Could you turn that on for me? I'm talking to the disciples today.